Today we're going to talk on prosper, be in health. 3 John 2, there's only one chapter, so it's chapter 1, verse 2. But first, 3 John, verse 2, says, "Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually." Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless and anoint this message today. I pray for open hearts that can receive the word and that it would be mixed with faith and it would be profitable for all of the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean that your soul prospers? We think, I got saved, I'm on my way to heaven, got my ticket punched, I got the golden ticket here, I get to go into Willy Wonka's factory. No. Salvation is the beginning of the journey. Our soul is supposed to grow. How do we grow our soul? The washing of the water of the Word. We renew our mind. Our soul is our mind, our will, our intellect. Our soul needs to grow. And for it to grow, it needs to prosper. I've told many times before how that if you have a child straight out of neonatal intensive care, and the family takes that child home, and that child wasn't ready to go home, that child has got problems. They need constant care. You want the child to thrive before it leaves the hospital. So it starts showing signs that things are getting great. Kathy and I went through that with Kelsey. She was born at 4 pounds, and she lost weight. She was down to 3 pounds something immediately, overnight. And so she was in the NICU. And she was at the hospital for 12 days in the NICU. But a lot of prayer. The doctors were amazed at the growth she was having and how she was progressing, and said, "She's doing great. We're just waiting for her to gain weight so she can meet the mark where we say she can go home." She never did meet that mark until after she got home. They got tired of her just eating and sleeping and changing diapers, that there wasn't any other care they were giving, so they said, "Take her home." But see, God had touched her, and God had helped her to grow and thrive and prosper. And in the same manner, as a new babe in Christ, you're supposed to grow and prosper. You're supposed to mature. Proverbs 19:8 says, in the Amplified Classic Edition, says, "He who gains wisdom loves his own life, and he who keeps understanding shall prosper and find good." Well, where do you find understanding and where do you find wisdom? In the Word of God. So if you're in the Word and you're seeking God and you're learning about God, you will find wisdom because God is wisdom. And you will find understanding because he has all understanding. That's where you're going to get it. Natural wisdom is going to fail you. Natural wisdom can lead you down the wrong path. But he who gains wisdom loves his own life. Do you love your own life? I'm sure so, because everybody here is taking care of themselves. They're clothed nice, got their hair done nice. Everything's looking nice. So you love your life. Says that you shall prosper and find good. We quote Isaiah 53:5 about, "By his stripes we were healed," about the stripes that were put on Christ's back, right? Well, Isaiah 53:10 goes on to say, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him." All of the stripes, all of the bruising, all of the hits, and all of the things that Christ revealed or suffered before he even went to the cross, including the cross, was all according to the will of the Father. Why? "He has put him to grief and made him sick." That's what the Amplified Bible, the Classic Edition, says. Other versions say, "Made him suffer." But in this version it says, "made him sick." When you and he make his life an offering for sin and he is raised from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. Do you know who his spiritual offspring is? Us. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Because of what Christ did on the cross, he took our sin, our sickness, all of the curse, all of that on him. The word tells us that he was made sin for us when he was put on the cross. All the sins of the world were transferred to him. He was made sick for us. All the diseases that we carry was put on him. And if he took them out into the uninhabitable places, that means God removed them. Just like the two goats, or two sheep, one was the sacrifice and the other was the scapegoat. It was led out into the uninhabitable places where it died, taking the sins of the nation out of the nation so they did not exist anymore, and God removed them from their presence. Jesus took our sin and our sickness out into the uninhabitable places called death. He removed them from us. We do not have to have them anymore. I want you to think about this. How much do you think Christ suffered while he was on that cross? He did not have a single sickness the whole time he was walking as a man. And all of a sudden to have all sickness put on him. You know how we feel when we get the flu and we just can't even lift our head, or we get pneumonia, or we get cancer, or we get some kind of a thing come on our body that just tears us apart, or heart disease, or any of these things, gallbladder attacks, any of these things that really devastate and cause pain. He had it all put on him at once, according to the scripture, because he made him sick. He made him to suffer. How much do you think that suffering really hit him, never to have been a part of that and all of a sudden to carry it on himself? The same thing with sin. He didn't commit any sin, all of a sudden to have that sin put on him. We know that he cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" How many times have you felt that depressed and that forsaken in life? He felt it. If you get depressed, you can say, "Lord, I know you know what I'm going through because I know you went through it yourself." Habakkuk 2:4 says, "Behold, whoso will not believe, his soul shall not prosper. But the just shall live by faith." So let's reverse this a little bit, because if it says, "Who will not believe, his soul will not prosper," the reverse of that, those who will believe will prosper. Correct? So if you look at it from the negative, it's a negative. You won't prosper if you don't believe. Let's look at the positive. If you do believe, you will prosper. That's not a "you may prosper" or "you shall prosper," because "may," there's a possibility. "Shall," you have the ability. "Will," it is a fact. It's going to happen. Do you want that prosperity? Believe. What does Mark tell us? "These signs shall follow those who believe." It doesn't say those that are saved. It doesn't say those that are spiritual. It doesn't say those that are called into the ministry. "These signs follow those who believe." Amen? Let's go to Romans 1:17. It's not in the slide deck, so I apologize for that. Romans 1:17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So in Habakkuk, it says, "Whoso will not believe, his soul shall not prosper," or the reverse, "Those who believe, your soul will prosper, but the just shall live by faith." So as you're living by faith, and here God says that faith to faith, that's a growing faith. God gives you a measure of faith, and your faith grows from faith to faith. That's prospering. Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Some other verses on how faith, the just shall live by faith. We're not told one time in Scripture that we're supposed to live by faith, and we go on and read the full volume of Scripture. God says it multiple times. And what's it say? Every word shall be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So God gives us multiple verses here where we're to live by faith. And faith is important to our walk and to our life. Habakkuk told us that if we believe, we'll prosper because we're supposed to live by faith. We're a faith group. We are the faith teachers and word of faith ministries in this world today. Do you live by faith? As a believer, we do everything by faith. You're saved by faith. You're healed by faith. You're delivered by faith. But all of that by His grace, not of our own. Let's talk about prosper. It says prosper and be in health, right? So we know we're supposed to prosper. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to go from one point to the next. 2 Samuel 22:36 says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy saving health, and thy meekness has multiplied me." God's given us our health. It's not just something that we have. It's something that He's given. It's a gift. We don't think about it, but our health comes directly from God. God created Adam and Eve without any disease. The curse started causing disease. In the medical field, the word disease actually means, the first part of that, the pre part of that is dis, D-I-S, which means not. Added to the word ease, not at ease. Something is out of sorts. Something is not the way it's supposed to be. That's what the word disease means. So God made it good without any sickness, and the fall of man caused disease and stress and things to happen, and so sickness came on the world. And we know about born and raised in this world, pharmacies on every corner almost, sometimes across the street from each other, many times across the street from each other. Doctors on every corner, hospitals around the world, and disease is a common thing in our mind, but it's not in God's original plan. So God gives us our health the same way He gave it to Adam and Eve. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But Christ came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. We don't have to have the steal, kill, and destroy. In James 1:17, again, this is not in the slide deck, every good gift and every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light in the shining of, whom there is no variation rising or setting or shadow cast by His turning as in an eclipse. God gives every perfect gift. Now, tomorrow there's going to be an eclipse go across the United States. You will see shadows and turnings. You will see strange lights and changes of the way things look. Your shadow will look darker even in the darkness. There will be what they call shadow snakes, and as right as the things are happening, you'll see wavy lines going through the deal. And it's all not light. Those are all darknesses. God is light. In Him there is no variation, no shadow, no turning, no eclipse, no blocking out of His light. Every good gift He gives it. And He doesn't say, "I'll give this to you if." How many times do we tell our kids, "If you go clean your room, I have a gift for you," or "I have a treat for you," or "Dog, roll over, I'll give you a treat." God's not like that. He doesn't sit up, "Go on, beg." He says, "My gift I give to you without any shadow or turning, it's no conditions. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to take it back. Say, you only did part of this, so I'm going to give you part of this." His gift is full and free. And one of those gifts is our health. You don't believe me? Let's go to Job chapter 2, verse 4. You know the story of Job. Job was tempted because Satan had a wager with God. I'm not saying God bet, but boy, Satan sure did. He's trying to win it all. He used Job as his betting piece, and he didn't own Job. Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin, the man will give up everything that he owns in exchange for his health. In the Amplified, it says, Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin, yes, all that man has he will give for his life. Mankind has searched for the fountain of youth for years. Look at the drugstores. There's whole aisles of health and beauty. There's whole industries. Look at your TV channel, toothpaste and deodorants and all the different perfumes. And then you go to the shopping channels, and they've got these cosmetics and those fancy clothes and these things. Then you go look at the doctors that will do all kinds of surgeries and all the liposuctions and everything to make you look beautiful and young again. Striving after the wind. Amen? God says that he gives us health. Psalm 21:5, his glory is great in thy saving health. Honor and beauty hast thou laid upon him. God glories in us being healthy. He gets glory in his people being whole. He pours beauty and honor into that. You don't believe me? Go back and read the story of Abram and Sarah. Abram and Sarah were in their 80s. And the Pharaoh of Egypt said, she looks pretty good. Is she your wife? No, she's my sister. There's a lie. Okay, I'm going to take her into my harem. If you look at the movies or you look... You don't see 80-year-old women in a king's harem. It's usually the young girls. It's the younger ones that people see. She looked good enough, 80 years old. This man was saying, I want her as part of my beautiful women of the court. Why? Because her and Abraham, still Abram at the time, were serving Almighty God. And he poured honor and beauty into her. Actually changed her physical appearance. She looked beautiful, as you all do, because the glory of the Lord is in you and it's shining out of you. Amen? Psalm 24:5 says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Hey, if you hear in the word you're going to receive the blessing of the Lord, you want to read and see what that blessing is going to be, right? And righteousness from the God of his saving health. There's a blessing, is your health. He says, I want you to prosper and be in health. He prospers you by growing, building you up, lifting you up, and giving you divine health. Which would be better, to be healed of cancer or to never get cancer? To be healed of a broken leg or protected from getting the broken leg? I mean, there's plenty of people out there that seem to run into everything and need all the healing. And there's time we need healing. But isn't it better to have divine health? That's a gift of God. Psalm 62:1. Again, I don't believe this is in there. Only in God does my soul rest. From him comes my saving health. Psalm 91:16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my saving health. Long life. My grandfather lived to the ripe age of 95. My grandmother lived to the ripe age of 91. I'm still young. Lord Terry's, I got a ways to go. Amen. This one's not on the slides. Sorry, I tried to save time with slides, but I've got to share this one. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Okay, do you want to find out why this person feels this way? For he has clothed me with the garments of saving health. Don't you feel like really praising the Lord when you feel good? When he gives us health, you feel more like getting in and praising him and worshiping him. When you have to drag your creaky old body into the place and set it down in the doctor's office, you're not praising God. You're not feeling like you want to jump up and shout hallelujah. It's like, doctor, give me something. Doctor, make it go away. But when your health is good and you come into the house of God and you're leaping and walking and praising God, it's like, how you feeling? I feel great. He has clothed me with the garments of saving health. He has surrounded me with the robe of righteousness. How many have the robe of righteousness? Have you asked Jesus Christ into your life? You have the robe of righteousness because we've been given his righteousness because ours is filthy rags. He has surrounded me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom, he has arrayed me, and as a bride made up of his jewels. That's what his health is to us. God dressed you in health. Amen. Matthew 8:13, he said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant boy was restored to health at that very moment. He wasn't restored just to sickness, a little bit better, feeling a little better. He had all of his health restored. The things that were wrong with him were gone. We call that a healing, but it was also restoration of health. Mm-hmm. A non-sick body. Amen? Amen. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. And it says unto salvation. If it's the word sozo, we talked about that last week. What else does it mean? Unto deliverance, unto preservation, and to health. See, God wants you to be in health and prosper. He wants you to grow. He wants you to have all that he has for you. Shalom means total unbrokenness. Nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace. The same peace that could let him stand there as they hit him and spat on him instead of lashing out or protecting himself. He didn't cry out and say anything against them. He had peace because he knew what his mission was, and he had all of us on his mind as he was headed to the cross. That his mission was so that we could have divine health, so we could have salvation, so that we could have deliverance, so that we could have preservation and be kept. We're told that he puts us in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck him out of my Father's hand, right? We are kept. 1 Peter 1:10 says, of which saving health the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to come in you have inquired and searched diligently. The prophets in the Old Testament that talked about what God was going to do, the psalmist, Isaiah, different ones that we've already read about, Habakkuk, that wrote these things, looked into the future, hopefully, to try to see, Lord, what does this mean? Who was this? Who's this about? How's this going to come to pass? We're receiving it. We're walking in it. And they inquired and searched diligently because they wanted to find out how this was going to take place. We know that it was through the cross. Jesus went to the cross to restore us all the things that were stolen when Adam gave up dominion. When Adam and Eve sinned, the devil took control. Jesus paid for it and bought it back. Amen? Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Why would God take the time to send his word to heal if he didn't want you in health? he would be wasting his time and expending his resources on something that wasn't necessary. But he wants it done, so he sent his word and healed them. Isaiah 53:5, we talked about earlier, but he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Does that say past tense or does it say future tense? Present tense. Are healed. It doesn't say someday you're going to be in the future. Someday you may be. It says you are healed. You are in health. He clothes you in it. Just like you put on that robe or you put on those clothes, you cover yourself. He covers you with health. He says, not only do I want you to prosper and be in health, I'm going to clothe you in it. I'm going to wrap you up in it. I'm going to put the jewels of it on you. Jeremiah 17:14 says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Amen. We don't get healed by ourselves. We don't get healed because we're perfect attendance in church or Sunday school or we're the best person on the block. We get healed because the Lord heals us. We have health because he gives us health. We're saved because he saves us through the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Were. There, it's past tense. Isaiah says, you are healed today. Here, it says you were healed from the event that took place. All we have to do is accept it, grasp onto it, the same we do with salvation. Say, hey, that healing's mine. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The ministry of the church is to find those that still need healing or that require healing, or maybe I need healing like I had prayer for last week and God did it. And it was because we followed the scriptural mandate. I asked for you guys to pray. I asked for Larry to pray Sunday night. I already testified earlier how that came out. Amen. What about success and prosperity? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, and I will bless those who bless you and confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses you or uses insolent language towards you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. What's this talking about? We know who it's talking to, Abraham, and his seed. What do we do every service? We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Israel. We have a prayer coordinator leading us in Daughters for Zion. We are praying for Cufi. We're praying for Israel. We're praying for our leadership, that God would continue to work within Israel. We're blessing them as much as we can from what we've got going on. And in that, we're told that we will be blessed. What just happened this week? God blessed us. Amen? He just poured a blessing into us that it would have taken a long time for us to do. Let's go to Genesis 39:23, also in the Amplified Classic. The prison warden paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, for the Lord was with him and made whatever he did to prosper. When you have yourself in the Word, and spend time with the Lord and you're honoring the Lord, he will prosper you in all that you do. As we said earlier, those who don't believe won't prosper. But those who believe and are in the middle of what God's doing and they're seeking God's face and they're doing things God's way, God says you will prosper, just like he did. He was in prison and he's prospering. He was a prisoner. And I don't think the penitentiary there was as nice as the ones people have today. They didn't have cable TV. They didn't have all the programs. They couldn't get their college degrees. They were in prison. But everything that he did, God prospered him to where the jailer didn't even watch him. Here's the key to your cell. You know when you need to come out. Just lock yourself up at night so that everybody else can know that you're locked up too. Just hang it on the hook outside the wall like on Mayberry. All the things that he did, he didn't even watch over him. He said, I'm not watching you. Things are going well in my jail because of what God's doing in your life. So, hey, makes my life easier. It's God prospered him. Deuteronomy 29:9 says, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may deal wisely and prosper in all that you do. How do we keep the words of this covenant? We're told that we have all of our righteousness is filthy rags. No man could keep the covenant until Jesus came. Jesus kept the covenant. And remember those filthy rags that we have that we're clothed in? He says he clothed us in Christ's righteousness. We were given the righteousness of Christ, and we are the righteousness of Christ in him. He put that on us. He said, you can't do it, and by grace I'm giving it to you. He fulfilled it, kept all the words of the covenant, and do them that you may deal wisely and prosper in all that you do. It's another gift of grace, this prosperity, in that Jesus did it all, and he gave you that ability by giving you his righteousness so that that scripture can be alive in your life. You prosper in all that you do. 1 Chronicles 22:13 says, then you will prosper if you are careful to keep and fulfill the statutes and ordinances with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not and fear not. Be not dismayed. As I just said, we didn't keep those. We were incapable. But Jesus paid the price by fulfilling the entire law. He kept all of it. Even the requirements for prosperity for us. See, you weren't just saved to keep you out of a devil's hell. You were saved to be in total relationship with God. What good would it be to be in total relationship with God with an old, broken, gnarled up body in front of God? Okay, God, you got me to heaven, but could you make heaven a little closer? I mean, it's hard to get all the way over to the other side of the throne room. There won't be any sickness in heaven. There won't be any sickness. God did not desire disease in his presence. He desires wholeness. He desires health. He desires us to prosper. With you, you raise your kids up and your kids aren't living up to the same level that you lived. They don't want to. They don't try to. It breaks your heart. But when they do as well or better than what you did and you see them prosper, you see them get well, you see them do all kinds of things and they accelerate in their jobs, you say, that's my kids. That's my kids. What do you think God says about you? Hey, do you notice my kids down there? They're in the Word. They get it. They're living by faith. They're trusting me. They're allowing me to pour out and bless them like I said I would. They're following what I've said. Oh, pour out blessings on them. Prosper them. The very first book of Psalms, Psalm 1, and the first two verses say, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts and instructions and teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. Do you find yourself enjoying being in God's presence? Enjoying being in his word? Getting in your prayer closet and talking with him and just spending time with him? That's all in verse 2. Verse 1 says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives the way it just mentioned in verse 2. You want to prosper? Spend time in his word. Spend time in his presence. We were just singing, in your presence, O Lord. We want to see your face. We're not looking for your hand. We don't want a handout. We want your face. We want to behold your face. We want to be in your presence. We want to love you. It's not that we want what we can get from you. It's we just want to be with you. Deuteronomy 28:8 says, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will command the blessing on you. You want to prosper? Spend time with him. Spend time in his presence, and he will command that. Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. You want to make God happy? He prospers you so he can be happy. He says he delights in the prosperity. He sits back and says, isn't that neat? Look at them. They're doing a good job. Look at them. Amen. Isaiah 48:17 says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God. We hear that all the way through the first part of Scripture. I am the Lord your God, right? Who teaches you to profit. He doesn't just want you to prosper, but he wants you to go to school with him so he can teach you how to profit. Now, that's not profit with a PH. That's profit with an F. Profit with a PH is to talk the things of God that aren't as though, okay, talking things ahead of time, talking things that God's saying. This is profit, and that has to do with finances. Are your finances lacking? It says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. James chapter 1 says, if any man lacks wisdom, right? If you lack wisdom, Lord, what should I do in this situation? And Isaiah 48 says he'll teach you in the way you should go. But it's not going to lead you to destruction. Deuteronomy 29 tells you he's got plans for you not to harm you. And in that, he teaches you the way to go so that you can be profitable. Say, Lord, you've been looking at garage sale dates. Lord, when should I have that garage sale date? And he gives you a date, you put it on the calendar. It may just happen that that date, there's no competing garage sales around. Everybody flocks to yours. Versus, oh my goodness, everybody's having garage sales and everybody's all picked over and they only come in with their pennies. They don't have their dollars anymore. But God can teach you to profit because you trust in him, because you lean on him. Amen? Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. The first part of that is you spend time in the Word, you get the Word in you, and you in the Word. And the second part, because of that, you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. You want prosperity? You want to succeed? Get in the Word. Find out what it says and start applying it to your life. Amen. Proverbs 28:25 says, an arrogant man stirs up strife, But he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. You trust in the Lord? Another verse says to trust in him and not lean to your own understanding. So you need to be trusting him and saying, okay, God, I'm here in your presence. Here, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I put my trust in you. I rest in you. Amen? Third John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper. Is there anything you're not prospering in? God wants you to succeed and prosper in every way. And be in good health, physically. Just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. So if you're saying, I'm not prospering, I'm not succeeding, and I'm having bad health, then go look and see how much your soul's prospering. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you spending time with him? Are you spending more time at the doctor's office or more time at the financial counselor's office than you are in God's word and in his house? You spend time alone with God. You spend time in the word. The other will start taking care of itself because that's what God's word says. If you've got it backwards, it's always going to be backwards. But if you put God first in all these things, he's going to take care of all this other. Amen? Amen. Amen. Before we go to the Aaronic blessing, I want to share this other scripture here. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verse 3. This ties this lesson into the Aaronic blessing we're going to do in a second. Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings, all the heavenly blessings that Christ has, including all the blessings that are in this word. When we give the Aaronic blessing here in a minute, the blessing that Moses was told to give, and Aaron and his sons were told to say over Israel, you will see God bless you in life. Let me just read to you. It says in Numbers 6, starting with verse 22, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. God said, this is the way you're going to bless. That's why in synagogue, in temple, they always said this blessing. We close all of our services with this blessing. For the same reason. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen. You want the spiritual blessings? Ephesians tells us we already have all the spiritual blessings. We remind God as we close out our service with the blessing that was given to Aaron and his sons. We close out our service with that so that we continue to remind God and ourselves of the blessings that are to come our way. Why? Because we love him. He already loved us. All he wants back in return is our love. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message, and we ask that this go deep within our hearts and lives. I pray that people are able to reevaluate and turn around and start seeing their soul prosper according to the Word of God, so that the blessings that you've already poured out for prosperity, for health, for our lives, for the blessings that you have in this Word, that they would start returning into us and start putting us in the place where you can look at us and be well pleased with our lives. Father, I pray that the enemy not be able to steal any of the word from anyone, but that it be mixed with faith and go deep within us and it bear fruit in Jesus' name. Amen.